We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic.
Can he get it away in time on the step back? He does! He hits! He hits! And the Mavericks have won the game! Luka Doncic with a 30-footer to win it at the horn!
And you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome into another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. And this is the latest installment of Mavs Step Back Live. Really big win last night against the Toronto Raptors. You know, they always give the Mavs issues because of their length. And the first time they played them this year, it was also a close game, and they didn't have Pascal Siakam. They did last night. And sure enough, it was a close game down to the last few seconds. And it was kind of rocky to start. The Mavs, they were turning the ball over more than they're used to. The Raptors went up 39-31, and then the Mavs clawed back. And it was a 97-96 game with about a minute left. And Luka did his step back three from his favorite spot, that top left corner or top left part of the arc three, and nailed it. And, you know, they ended up winning by 4 points. So nice win. They still kind of sloppy on offense. Luka had 41 points. He hadn't even reached the 30-point mark since November 27th, earlier in the year. And then he hadn't scored 40 points all season. The last time he scored 40 points in a game was that Game 7 loss to the Clippers in the playoffs. So it was incredible to see Luka magic again. And it seems like he's finally starting to get his legs under him a little bit more. Knock on wood, hopefully he's gotten the ankle injuries like behind him for this season, because Lord have mercy, he has the worst luck ever. So hopefully that's behind him. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about today, aside from just the Raptors win. But first up, I got my guy Kirk Henderson from Mavs Moneyball. He's joining me today. Kirk, how you doing after that one last night?
I'm good. My voice sounds like I'm Optimus Bibbs when I smoked a 12-pack of cigarettes last night. But it was a really fun game. It's like the first game that I've gotten like pissy with in game in a while, just because the Mavericks have been kicking the crap out of teams so much, and it was really fun to watch them. Excuse me. It was really fun to watch them adjust because they were just getting crushed. I mean, you pointed it out. It was 39-31, and it felt like that game was going sideways. They called a timeout 2 minutes into the second quarter, and they figured it out. And then they just held on. I mean, it's the sort of game where I'm sure if you look at the box score, you're probably saying, how did they only beat a team that played seven guys by 2 points or 4 points, whatever it was? I was just psyched to get a win. Toronto is feisty.
Yeah. I follow a few Raptors Twitter guys, and there were a lot of people on Nick Nurse's ass last night just because he's so stubborn and he's only playing seven guys. And like the whole point of not playing Dragic supposedly was to get, you know, some of the younger guys more minutes, and people on their side, you know, Raptors fans are just like, well, they're not really doing that. They're only playing seven guys, so what's the point? You know, Dragic, his $19 million is just, you know, being wasted. So I definitely understand their frustration, but I'm glad Nick Nurse, you know, did the Mavs a solid there.
Well, because, like, they have Svi Mykhailiu sitting on the, like, tail end of the bench, and, you know, he could be injured. I wasn't paying close enough attention, but he's the sort of guy that I've always wanted the Mavericks to have as, like, a ninth man, because he can shoot the crap out of the ball, and he's not necessarily small. He's, you know, when he was a Laker, he was like the second coming, because everybody that plays for the Lakers is incredible. And I just didn't get it. But it's one of those wins where, you know, when you're playing four, it's their fourth game in six nights, and tonight is their fifth game in seven nights. You're just sort of psyched to get away with the win. And I know you and I were chatting about this in texts earlier. If they get, like, whooped tonight, I'm attempting to prepare myself to not be mad about it, because they've really, you know, winning 10 of 11 is hard. And the one game they didn't lose, or the one game they didn't win, was when the Knicks just shot like 50% from three. So, you know, compared to that sort of sense of just like, I don't want to be too dramatic, but when they lost to the Kings on that terrible last second three, like, that was just a gut wrenching loss. And it was like, okay, here we go again. And since then, they've just played phenomenal basketball. And I know they were even playing well before that. But, you know, Luka and KP were both out. There's a lot of COVID issues. Like, this is kind of, you know, where they're going feels so – there's just, like, a lot of growth, and yet they're still playing well. It's and you can see where they could go if they fine-tune some other stuff. And, like, there's still plenty of time for that. This is the nice upward swing part of the season. And it couldn't be happening at a better time, because, like you said, they're playing all these teams where guys are.
Yeah, and Luka mentioned it last night too. I mean, he's obviously not had the offensive season that, you know, his stats are still incredible, his averages, but, you know, efficiency-wise, he just hasn't had a season that's up to his standards. And he said even after the game last night, you know, he had 41 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists. But, you know, even he was just like, you know, defense is the biggest key to us winning now. You know, it doesn't matter if Luka scores 41 or if he scores 20 or less than 20 or whatever the case may be, you know, that's what's going to win the Mavs games now, is defense. And he has bought into it. The entire team has bought into it. We were talking about that piece earlier. Was it Cleaning the Glass, or what article was that we were talking about earlier, where it basically was saying it was trying to walk through how the Mavs have such an elite defense without having, you know, a real defensive anchor, so to speak. And I mean, there really needs to be something. There has to be something said about, you know, coaching, as far, maybe not from like a scheme perspective, but, you know, a guy who can, or a coaching staff that can keep guys motivated. And that's where I think Jason Kidd and this coaching staff, above everything else, has excelled compared to like what Rick Carlisle and that staff was doing last year. Cause it kind of got to the point where that team or that roster got kind of lost from that coaching staff, and they just weren't really buying in. And I think a lot has to be said for keeping guys engaged and motivated. And another thing, and I'll let you touch on this too, Kurt, because we were talking about it a little bit, and I know you have some thoughts on it. I mean, yeah, they are benefiting from teams missing a lot of threes, and I don't know what percentage of those threes are open, but it can't be anywhere close to the open threes they were giving up earlier in the season. I see a change in how they approach their defense on the perimeter from in past years, because they're getting up into guys. You know, they're taking away space. They're fighting over screens. When they're not fighting over screens and switching, the switching is crisp. You know, they're not doing the sag off stuff that we saw in previous years. Like I told you earlier, that I still have nightmares of KP sagging off of Dame in the bubble and just getting absolutely torched every time they did. You know, after about the third or fourth time, it's like, okay, guys, you might want to try something different. But I'm so glad that the sag off defense is not a thing in Dallas right now. And I think that's been the biggest difference. But I mean, I just don't think you can have this kind of defensive run and it be a fluke. I mean, I'm sure there's a little bit of, you know, stuff that's gone their way, you know, with guys missing open shots. But like I was telling you before, you know, they're just grinding teams down. They're playing such good defense for four quarters, or almost four quarters each game, that by the time you get in the second half and in the fourth quarter, you know, teams are tired because they're just on them all the time. So I think that has a big thing to do with it. What do you think?
So I just – on SportsIllustrated.com, Michael Pena, one of your colleagues, just wrote a really good piece that sort of it splits the difference between what Nekias Duncan wrote for Basketball News and then what Iztok wrote for D Magazine, where it's there's some video breakdowns and some additional numbers where it's talking about the defense. And one of the things that the Mavericks have is the league-leading defense on points per possession after a score. So when they score the ball, they play really fantastic defense. And that is a numerical justification for what you just talked about in terms of grinding teams down, where teams are running into a bit of a brick wall right after Dallas scores. And there's just there's a lot of interesting numbers. And, you know, let's say, I mean, I think we're both realists. We've watched these guys for 3 years. Are they the number one defense in the league for 82 games? No. But are they the 20th or 25th base defense, which is what we've seen at certain parts in earlier in the season? Absolutely not. Penny in his piece talked about how much vocal activity is coming from the Maverick bench, both from the assistant coaches and fellow players talking about where guys need to be relative to corners. And that seems to have been helping a lot. One thing I noticed, and I was at the Thunder game the other night, is there's a lot of Maverick players looking to the bench for thoughts and feedback during breaks in the game, which is, it's a subtle thing for me, but it's different than getting barked at by Rick all the time. It's asking for what should happen instead of getting told what to do. I mean, the end result is likely the same, but I think that that's sort of one of those little coaching things that you're referencing that I think matters, because it allows – there's some agency going on. And, you know, these guys are professional geniuses at basketball, all of them, even the worst player on the team. They're some of the four – like NBA players are 400 of the best 500 basketball players on planet Earth. So it's just – it's fun watching, like, the little evolutions. And I think we have to – in the big picture, they're still, you know, 30-something games. They're likely to take a dip at some point, but – that's okay, because what they're doing right now is banking some of these wins. So it's like these next three games are difficult. If they were to win one of the three, I think I might be satisfied. And if they win more than that, it's a bonus. And then after that, they have a bunch of games where they should crush teams.
Well, here's the thing, too. And we talk about the defense, but the offense is kind of the same concept. You know, it's like we don't expect them to be in like the top 10 offensively, you know, given the personnel, but we also didn't expect them to be like in the bottom five like they were earlier this season. And they, I think they've like worked their way up into like maybe 16th or 15th as far as offense goes. So it's kind of that same. We've talked about it, but you know, if they can kind of work their way into that top 10 range in both areas by the end of the season, I mean, it doesn't have to be the best, but you know, this is the kind of defense that they're going to have to end a decade-long drought of not being able to win a playoff series. You have to have the defense. You know, they've built the foundation. You know, like I said, you don't just fluke into having this streak of just holding teams to under 100 points. And they've had many games where they've held teams to under 90 this year. So – And Luka hasn't even really gotten going yet. You know, that was the first Super Saiyan Luka appearance we've seen last night this season, in my opinion. So, at least on the offensive end. So, I'm really encouraged, Kirk. I think that they can continue to climb in the West. They're only 3.5 games behind the Utah Jazz. Who would have thought that at the beginning of the year when the Jazz were just rolling people early? But they're only 3.5 games behind them for the fourth seed. They're only 4 games behind Memphis for the third seed in the West. And they have one more game versus Memphis on Sunday. And they still have 3 more late season head-to-heads with the Jazz this season. So it is very possible, and especially given how the Jazz are playing lately, they lost to the Rockets last night. It was like 116 to 111. So based on how they're playing, it's very likely that the Mavs could catch them. And, I mean, you look at these next three games, they're hard. But, I mean, look, they're playing the Suns on the second night of a back-to-back. Like you said, if they lose, I mean, you can't really be mad at it because of how well they've played. And Phoenix has like 4 days of rest. But they don't have DeAndre Ayton tonight. And, you know, like you were telling me earlier, Ayton is one of those guys. It seems like he's one of the only bigs in the league that really gives Luka issues. And so that could, you know, play a factor tonight, whether they win or not. I mean, I think the Mavs will be competitive. And then you look at the game on Sunday against Memphis. Dylan Brooks is still going to be out. Desmond Bane is in NBA protocols, COVID protocols. So that's going to be huge. So they could very likely win that game. And then the Golden State game, I haven't checked on the Draymond Green situation, but I think he's out too. I don't know.
He's having back issues. Yeah. It's not, it's kind of dark for him.
Yeah. So Draymond, and I mean, he's kind of like their glue guy, you know, he makes a lot of things work for Golden State. So all three of these upcoming games, even though like we would understand if the Mavs ended up losing, I mean, they're all winnable. And then you look at the stretch after these next three at Portland versus Indiana, who might have some big changes by the time that game comes around trade-wise. And, you know, Miles Turner is out with a foot, what they're calling a stress reaction, but we all know what that is. And then they play Orlando again and then Oklahoma City again. So, I mean, this is this is like the perfect time for this team to be playing the way they are with the schedule. Just, you know, the stars are aligning for the Mavs to be like over 10 games over 500 by the end of the month. So I'm very, very ecstatic, and I think that they have a real good chance of getting home court this year.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm still not sure where I fall on that spectrum, but I do agree that it's a great time to be playing well. It's the time that they have to take advantage of their opportunity, and I think what I'm looking forward to seeing is whether this team is different than last year's team, because they sort of, I think in hindsight, we can all agree that they felt they failed up into the fifth seed. They lost so many games that they should have won down the stretch while also managing to win something like 66% of their games after All-Star break. Like, they should have absolutely, you know, they should have been higher. You know, the fifth seed should have been theirs, but then they lost to, like, Memphis a couple of times. They lost to the Kings a couple of times. And the fact that Dallas hasn't had, at least lately, I mean, I guess the one Kings game, but there's not, like, this torrid of losses that is making us pissy, because it's, you know, when they're losing to teams, and this was even happening earlier in the season, they were losing to teams that they weren't favored against anyways. So, you know, now that they're coming on this swing, it's a real chance to make a dent. And if they don't, I would still say I'm pretty satisfied with where they've come, with where they've gotten to. I'm not really looking forward to playoff projecting, because it's just, there's certain teams I don't want them to play. I mean, this one guy who contributed to Mav Moneyball, his name's Clint, constantly makes the joke that we're going to play the Clippers no matter what. And it just, it kind of feels like that sometimes. But thank you for having me on, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining, Kirk. And we'll talk to you next time. Always good stuff. Just to expand on what Kirk said there at the end about the Clippers, I really don't think we have to worry about the Clippers as much, because Paul George, he has like a partially torn ligament in his elbow. And it's like somebody was telling me it's the type of injury where, you know, baseball players end up needing a Tommy John surgery. And they're just kind of waiting it out and seeing, you know, if he needs to do surgery or if it'll heal on its own. But more times than not, it doesn't heal on its own. So there is a very good chance, at least from what I've heard, that he could end up having surgery that could potentially end his season. And then, you know, I don't know if that affects Kawhi Leonard potentially coming back this year, if they just decide to punt on this season when that happens. But, you know, that's another thing when you look at this Mavs schedule. So the next three, Phoenix, Memphis, Golden State, and then after that you have a four-game stretch of Portland, Indiana, Orlando, and Oklahoma City. And Oklahoma City is the first game of February. And then you look at the opening February schedule. They play Philadelphia, who's been playing really well lately. That'll be a really tough game, but it is at home. And then they play Atlanta. And then the next three after that is Detroit, and then a back-to-back mini-series against the Clippers, who will not have, you know, Kawhi or Paul George. So it just goes back to my point about, you know, with the way the Mavs are playing, and, like, it's not just that they're playing well, you know, and guys haven't been shooting the ball well just yet, but it's just such a confidence builder. Jalen Brunson made the comment the other day that he really feels like this is something that this is a feeling or a vibe or whatever word he used for it that they're not going to let go of anytime soon. And I kind of believe him on that, because – I mean, they obviously need to upgrade a couple of spots on the roster just to improve their depth and, you know, to give them more consistency, because it's like, you know, with Dwight Powell, he had a couple of really good games, you know, a good stretch of games during this 10 wins out of the last 11 games. But there's just every now and then there's this night where he just, like, doesn't score at all, or, you know, he's setting moving screens, and it's like that Knicks game. That was a it ended up being a 23-point loss, and it was not Dwight Powell's best game, you know, but that's typically what happens when he's going up against Mitchell Robinson on the night. But, you know, stuff like that, they need to either try to lessen his minutes and give more to Marquese Chris, who they signed for the rest of the season, plus another year. He's on a two-year deal now, but he didn't play at all in that Raptors game. And I think – they need to kind of start to make that transition. And, I mean, as well as Dwight has played in this recent stretch, I'm very interested to see how they approach this trade deadline, because I feel like there are a few – you know, and we heard this last year too. I think it was with Indiana. Even before Rick Carlisle went to Indiana, you know, they seemed to have a little bit of interest in Dwight Powell at one point. Supposedly. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, no matter what you think of Powell, I mean, there are teams around the league that sees what he can do at times. It's like, okay, well, you know, he's only got one more year on his deal. Maybe we can do something there. So, I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it goes. The Goran Dragic thing is something I continue to watch. I mean, I saw somebody on Raptors Twitter say something about they hope that Masai Ujiri can leverage the situation and end up trading him for a rotational player. I just don't think there is any leverage to be had there, because I feel like Dragic killed any kind of leverage the Raptors had when he straight up came out and said he wanted to be in Dallas, or he strongly hinted that he wanted to be in Dallas playing alongside Luka, who's basically like his little brother. So if other teams know that, they're not going to give up anything to trade for him. It's already hard to trade him because he's 35 years old and making $19 million. So to salary match, you have to send out a pretty good bit of stuff to get him. I just don't think it's going to happen. And Masai Ujiri, he's being stubborn. He's just going to, you know, run out this ground ball past the trade deadline. But I think that week after the trade deadline passes, I think it's pretty much a given, in my opinion, that Dragic is going to end up on the Mavs. Now, if it doesn't happen, I'll just have to be wrong. But I really feel like that's going to happen. And I feel like the Mavs are probably banking on that too. And that'll really, really help out the depth as far as, you know, Jalen Brunson, he's in the starting lineup full time now. And, you know, it'll balance out that bench unit. And I think it'll really help Tim Hardaway Jr.'s shot selection, because with him coming off the bench and them not having a legitimate secondary, you know, playmaker on the bench with him, I know they can stagger Luka and Jalen's minutes a little bit and kind of compensate for that, but they really do need another guy like Dragic to kind of put all that together for him. And I think that'll make a big difference. Okay, I'm going to bring one more person up here. I've gone a little bit over what I had set out to do, but that is okay. My guy, Jose, what's up, man?
Not much. Thank you for bringing me up here. I'm going to give you some free promo, Dalton, because yesterday you sent me a link to your the game, and I just find it real interesting. Like you said, it's everything that the Green Room is, just with the game on. And I want to say thank you for that. And it's a nice experience. And strangely enough, it was ahead of my streaming on the PC.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, man. Yeah, so we're doing another watch party tonight. Now, for those who don't know, Mavs Step Back Premium subscribers, we've been doing weekly watch parties with the Playback app. And it's not a public app yet. It's still in beta testing. But like you were saying, Jose, it really is like Green Room. You just have a live stream. Everybody's watching the same stream at the same time. There's a chat. There's a stage just like this that we don't do the entire game, just maybe in the fourth quarter when things get interesting like last night. But, yeah, I mean, it's really the future of watching live sports with people, you know, with fellow Mavs fans. You know, if you're not going to be at a game in person, I personally feel like this is the best way to watch a game and interact with everybody while it's happening. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. I don't know. I know there were a handful of new subscribers that signed up after that last night. So we do one a week. We're doing one tonight for Mavs Suns. And then yesterday, about a couple hours before the Mavs and Raptors game, I just randomly decided, you know what, I'm going to open one up to the public and just let people see what this is like. Because, you know, I've been promoting it a bunch and talking about it, but until people actually see it, they don't really know. But I'm glad you enjoyed it, Jose, and hopefully, you know, we can get you in there for a lot more going forward. But did you have anything else about the Mavs you want to talk about before we head out?
Yes. How do you feel about a Memphis versus Dallas playoff series? Because what I've noticed about this Mavs team, and I said it on Twitter Spaces, is that this Mavs team that we have this year doesn't allow anybody to get up in their face. And Memphis is notorious for trash talk. And a lot of these younger teams, they've been getting in Luka's face. Josh Green pushed one of the Magic players when I was there. So that was kind of interesting. But what do you feel about a Memphis Mavs?
Look, I don't want to jinx anything in case it does happen, but my personal opinion is that the Mavs would end up waxing the Grizz in the first round if they ended up playing them. I personally believe that. I feel like Luka he's one of these guys who he says all the right things in the media, and he's not gonna let you know if something bothers him or if he takes something personally. But all of this national media attention for Ja Morant and everybody comparing him and saying that he's better than Luka, and you know, he's now jumped Luka in fan voting this year and everything. If it comes down to a playoff series between these two teams, you know, I think he's going to take it personally and just basically going to unload the clip on the Grizzlies. That's my personal opinion. They've played them well this season already. And, I mean, I know Dylan Brooks will probably be back by then, and he gives the Mavs issues. But playing the Grizzlies in the first round wouldn't worry me as much as, you know, maybe the Lakers. You know, if the Mavs end up getting in the top four and the Lakers make a run at the end of the season and that becomes like a 4-5 matchup, that would worry me more than playing the Grizzlies just because of the experience. And, I mean, obviously the Mavs would be capable of beating the Lakers too, but, you know, you'd rather play an inexperienced team led by Ja Morant than you would LeBron James in the first round, you know, something like that. So, I'm that's my answer there. I would not be scared of a Mavs-Grizz first round. I think it would be very fun, and I think that the Mavs would come out on top. So, Jose, appreciate you joining me. You'll have to do it again sometime. We'll bring out one more speaker here. Alan, let's see if we can get you up here. Alan, what's up, man?
Hey, Dalton, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What you got for me?
So I grew up, just give you a little backstory, but I grew up in Memphis, and so obviously a Memphis fan, but live in Dallas now, and so have listened to a lot of Kirk's stuff, and just recently kind of got into your stuff, but just had a take on the standing side of it. I mean, Memphis has the 30th easiest schedule in the league for the rest of the season. I agree, like you said, they're coming up on a rough stretch with Bane and Brooks both out, but also Kyle Anderson went into protocol yesterday, and so did Tyus Jones, who is obviously a really big piece for them. So I think they're going to lose for probably these next maybe week and a half. They're going to lose some games in a row. They lost in Milwaukee last night, but I think after that their schedule really gets easy. And so I don't know if that's going to be I don't really see them falling lower than four. I think they'll probably finish third. But if the Mavs, that's why I just don't think the 4-5 with Dallas and Memphis can happen, because I think if you're going to project the team to fall, it's going to be Utah, seeing they've had a million issues and they have like the third hardest schedule the rest of the year. So just wanted to say on the playoff series, I mean, I disagree a little bit, but I think it would be amazing. It would be a really fun series, and obviously they're pretty close together, so I think it could be a cool rivalry. But just as far as the Ja Luka thing, as a Grizzly fan, I watch all the Grizzly games and watch most of the Mavericks. I've never thought Ja was in the same conversation with Luka as an individual player. But as a team, as a true point guard, Ja has a lot of highlights where he gets compared to Westbrook. But kind of since he's come into the league, the Memphis people really have seen him more on the Chris Paul side. I mean, if you look at him, when the only games that he really tries to score are games like last night where we didn't have any players, or first round versus Utah where no one was stepping up, and also play-in versus Golden State. Those are his biggest point outputs, and that typically happens when, you know, other players aren't stepping up, so he kind of goes on the ball a lot more offensively. So really, really appreciate your stuff. Love the optimism, and appreciate you having me up. But just wanted to kind of give a little bit different perspective.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Good stuff, Alan. And you'll have to join me again sometime. But yeah, and just to be clear, I mean, I'm a big Ja Morant fan. Like I love Ja. He has really improved. He's having an incredible season. You know, up until this last stretch, you know, it could change by the end of this year, obviously. But, you know, Ja has had a better season than Luka has overall to this point. And, you know, that's why Memphis is where they're at in the standings. He's just been amazing. My thing is, you know, you have all these, you know, Stephen A's of the world and hot take machines on ESPN saying that they would start a franchise with Ja over Luka, just because of recency bias. I mean, you just you just can't you can't say something like that when, you know, the other guy's a all NBA first team guy in two of his three seasons, and you know, he's had the playoff success. Well, you know, he hasn't won a playoff series, but he's had the successful playoff performances individually, you know, versus what Ja has done so far in his career. So that's not to say that Ja can't get there, but, you know, it's just you can't claim something like that right now. That's all I'm saying. And I do think that Luka, although he won't say it, I do think he'll take it personally if that matchup does end up happening. And I also agree that, you know, it's very more likely that the Jazz will fall than the Grizzlies based on the schedule, the easy schedule at the end of the year, like you said. But I think the Mavs are capable of catching either team with the way they're playing and the way their schedule has lined up. So we will see. Guys, I appreciate it. Really good stuff today. I went way longer than I thought I would today, but I mean, that's what happens when you have such good stuff to talk about. I really appreciate it. Y'all go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. I mentioned the Mavs Step Back Premium stuff. If you do want to start joining these weekly watch parties, and then there's a lot of other bonus content, go to patreon.com/Mavs Step Back. If you go to my Twitter and scroll down through the pictures I posted, I have a recent ticket giveaway we're doing for Mavs Step Back. It's for Rick Carlisle's return to Dallas, which is January 29th. We're giving away two lower bowl tickets. It's in the 100 section. Let's see. Yeah, two tickets in lower bowl. So I think it's like section 108. But anyway, all you got to do is, you know, go retweet that and make sure you leave us a review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It doesn't have to be both. And you have a chance of winning those tickets. So, guys, appreciate it. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.